The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Who then is the faithful and prudent servant whom the master has put in charge of his household to distribute to them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on his arrival finds already doing so. Amen, I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master's long delayed,' begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, the servant's master will come on an unexpected day at an unknown hour, will punish him severely, assigning him a place with the hypocrites where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. It is good to see all your smiling faces. Very good to welcome Sister Maria Augustine on Monica and Augustine's days. So I'm excited that you're here already. Today, in the Gospel, Jesus uses a shocking appellative. He, whom we've been used to calling by some of the most awesome words that can ever come from a mouth, Lord, Messiah, Son of God, Son of Man, Way, Truth, Resurrection and Life, Gate, Good Shepherd, calls himself a thief. And he meant it. And he wants us to relate to him, not just by those other titles I just named, but also under this one. It's quite paradoxical. When we call Dismas the good thief, it's stuck over the course of the centuries because good and thievery don't really go together. Likewise, thief and God would seemingly not go together. But Jesus uses it. He uses it for two reasons. One, because it gets us past any sense of ownership. We're afraid of thieves because we're afraid of losing what we're grasping onto. But if we're regularly giving all we are and have to God, we're not afraid of it being stolen by Him. It's only when we begin to fear what He might do, when we no longer trust Him, that we begin to dread losing something that we value more than Him. Second, is He wants us constantly to be alert, awake. Many times, even at Mass, we can be drifting and distracted. Not to mention the Rosary, the Breviary, in our work, in our sufferings. We can lose a sense of the awareness of God. And so God wants us to always be alert, as if He's constantly around the corner, ready to embrace Him when He's there. Saint Thérèse Lisieux, at the end of her life, as she was suffering from tuberculosis at the very old age of 23 and 24, developed the habit of calling Jesus by the title Le Voleur, the thief. And when her sister, who was also her superior, asked her, "Are you afraid that the Lord's going to come quickly?" She said, "The thief has already entered." She already knew that He was present. She made one of her great prayers, "Le voleur viendra et m'emportera, alléluia." The thief is about to come and take me away. Praise the Lord. She related to the presence of the Lord. And that's one of the reasons why she was always ready. It's the great wisdom that when we know that the Lord could be coming at every moment and in fact is always present, that's when we can truly be ourselves. That's when we can truly flourish. And the devil's greatest temptation is to try to get us to forget that the Lord is with us now. The image of the thief is supposed to bring us to that presence of God. Once we're aware of the Lord as thief, ever present, once we recognize that we don't want him to take anything from us, we want to give all to him who's given all to us. That's when we have a chance to become what he describes in this parable as his faithful and prudent servant. Those words in Greek are pretty powerful. Faithful is pistis. At the end of today's first reading from St. Paul, he says, God is pistis, faithful. A good and faithful, trusting, prudent servant is one who trusts in God. And because of that trust in the Lord was placed, his trust in that servant acts in a trustworthy way. We know our faithfulness comes from God's faithfulness and not just his loyalty, but the fact that he trusts us. It'll never stop blowing my mind that he entrusts me with the gifts of the priesthood. And that's why I'm totally unafraid. Because if God trusts me, why should I be afraid of anything? Likewise with our vocations to sanctity through baptism or the more intense form of the vocation lived in religious life. God trusts and he calls. Second, I'm losing my Greek, but phrosinon, I'm pretty sure, is the actual term for prudent. And it doesn't just mean somebody who can order things toward the end or gives good counsel and is kind of smart and wise. It means eminently practical. Someone who's capable of fulfilling tasks. Someone who, because of that trust in the master, takes what the master asks to do, asks for help when it's needed, but basically gets the job done. The Lord wants us to be that type of faithful and prudent steward. And it's shown in two ways. First is the faithful and prudent steward is always alert that the master's there. So he doesn't say, my master's long in coming. He doesn't begin to try to do things solo, but always in response to the present master. And then second, knowing that the master's there, begins to distribute the master's goods at the proper time. And the proper time is normally always and everywhere when we recognize what those gifts with which he has been enriched actually are. This faithful and prudent steward is contrasted to the wicked servant who thinks the master's long delayed, and rather than serving and loving those entrusted, begins to give to a life of pleasure, eating and drinking with drunkards, and rather than serving, begins to abuse his fellow servants, beating them. To be a faithful and prudent steward means that we eat and drink with the Lord, and that together with him, rather than beat those he was beaten to save, we're willing to do everything to cooperate in that work in the most practical and faithful of ways. We need God's help to do this. It's one of the reasons why it's so beautiful that we have the beginning of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians today. We'll have it with us through September 19th for just over 3 weeks. It's one of St. Paul's not only earliest letters, but his most powerful letters. And in it, he describes the gift of God that we have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, who's given us the vocation of holiness, that we've been enriched in every way with all his discourses in wisdom, so that we're not lacking in any spiritual gift, is we await the revelation of that thief for him to say, I've been here all along. We've been enriched in every way. And because of that, he will keep us firm to the end, irreproachable on the day that that thief reveals himself. God, who's given us every spiritual blessing, who's given us his holiness, will help us to remain faithful and firm. And the faithful and prudent steward is the one who receives that gift and responds. And the wicked one is the one who rejects it. We are faithful not by our willpower, by our grit. We are faithful by God's gift, which will always be given before the thief comes. The thief, like a good parent sometimes, is putting more money in our wallet, knowing that we will need it. Today we celebrate with great joy a faithful and prudent servant of the Lord, someone who was sanctified, called to be holy and responded, who was kept by the grace of the Lord and every spiritual gift, faithful even in the midst of great earthly vicissitudes. And so she's inspiring to us. Monica married very young a pagan named Patrick, was abusive and made her life in many ways miserable. Led her basically to go to the wine cellar a lot at the beginning because she didn't know how to deal with it. But eventually she recognized that something was more important than getting smashed. She needed to turn to the Lord, not away from him in this way. So she began to go to him for many years. She had received so much from him, wanted her husband to receive those graces, and prayed and wept and fasted. Likewise, if he made her life difficult, his mom made her life even harder. One of the worst mother-in-laws in hagiography. But she did what she could, faithfully and prudently, pulled out all the stops in practical ways for their conversion and salvation. And eventually, after 16 years of this prayer, think about that, 16 years, Patrick finally opened himself up for the grace of conversion and his mother with him. Little did Patrick know that the thief was already on the way and that he would be welcomed within a year to his death. Monica just kept interceding, not complaining, not self-pitying, but praying, caring more about her husband, in fact, than she did about herself. She hoped that that would likewise be the story of her son. But by the time he went off to rhetoric school, and particularly spurred on by his father's death, Augustine rebelled. He became a Manichaean. He lived according to the flesh, inviting a concubine to live with him and having a child out of wedlock. He made many mistakes. What was worst, in my opinion, was when he would go home and use all his learning to try to humiliate his mother, making fun of her, attacking her, as if she was just some type of idiot simpleton. She took it. She suffered it. She tried to convert it into prayer for her son. And one of the most despicable acts any child could do to a parent, when he said, I'm getting out of here, even though his mom was a widow, and he was the eldest boy, and should have had responsibility for his mom. He just wanted to go off and follow his career in Italy as a rhetorician. She said, I'm following you. I'm going with you because I love you. And while they were there in the port of Carthage, big, dangerous metropolis, Gusson just said, wait here, Mom. I'll go check on the time of the boat. And he never came back. He abandoned his mom in that place. She didn't give up, though. She loved her son too much. She got on a subsequent boat, went to Rome where she thought she would find him. She crisscrossed the city, no trace of him, was asking everywhere, just like Mary tried furtively to find her son, Jesus, at 12 in the temple. Eventually she got word that he had been there, but that instead he went up to Milan. And so off she went to Milan, and there's no bullet train or plane to Milan to get there. This mom intransigently kept following the footsteps of her son. And while there, she fell under the spell of St. Ambrose, a convert who had a faster path to the priesthood than the priest in Detroit, Father Hall, a couple weeks ago. We found out that he wasn't baptized. And she introduced Ambrose to her son. And Augustine was first impressed by Ambrose's great learning and rhetoric, and then eventually by his holiness. And the crack was there. We know his conversion story. We'll have a chance to talk about it more tomorrow. But the son of so many tears, as a bishop in Africa had said to Monica, would not be lost. And so, God's grace, like a thief, robbed Augustine of his sinful ways and converted. And she remained faithful to the end. There, after he had decided to go back and dedicate his life to God in chastity in Africa, they were waiting in the port just outside of Rome called Ostia Antica. It was there that she caught a fever, and as we read in this morning's breviary, was about to die. She said all that she had longed for had come, that her faithful, prudent life, dispensing all that she had to Patrick and to his mother and to her mother-in-law and to Augustine, had come to fruition, that she no longer needed to be here on earth, and that she longed for the thief to come. It was difficult for Augustine and his brother to hear, but nevertheless, Monica kept moving forward. When they wanted to cling on, she said, bury my body anywhere. Just remember me at the altar. Little did she know at that point that her son would become a priest capable of remembering his mom at Mass. Little did she know then that today, 1,663 years later, we would be remembering her in a continent that she had never even imagined existed. How much the Lord rewards his faithful and prudent stewards. Today, Monica, who prayed for Augustine, prays for us, so that we might truly hear the words of today's gospel, become faithful and prudent, and respond to that vocation to sanctity by the Lord, who doesn't make us lack in any spiritual gift, but in the Holy Eucharist gives us in an incarnate way every spiritual blessing in the heavens. This, from the inside, is the gift that will keep us firm and faithful to the end. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Yeah.